Roberts, but you can call now and still get tickets for basic memberships at 1-877-500-5266. Show your support for KBOO and for the arts and get those tickets now.
KBOO proudly co-sponsors the Portland Folk Music Society concert series, this month featuring soul, rhythm and blues, and folk singer Chris Webster. Webster draws from many genres, sometimes backing her songs on uke or even washboard, with Nina Gerber on guitars. Gerber honed her skills accompanying folk singer Kate Wolfe. She has accompanied and recorded with Carla Bonoff, Peter Rowan, Nancy Griffith, Greg Brown, and many others. The Portland Folk Music Society concert is April 19th, 7:30 p.m., at the Reedwood Friends Church on Southeast Steele Street in Portland. For more information, go to the website, kboo.fm, and click on Community Events.
Blackbird. Andy Wawo looks a scream. Hand him on my whoa. Andy Wawo, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Robert Dozzano, Paul Missel, and Kane Ikeda. They are two painters and a sculptor, and they are members, longtime members of Blackfish Gallery. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Our pleasure. Yeah.
So Blackfish Gallery has been around for 40 years. You're celebrating that milestone. You're the one of the longest continuous co-ops in the States, probably. You've never taken a break. Every month you have a show. And, you know, Blackfish is known. It's on 9th Avenue opposite Liz Leach. But it's a co-op, so it's a bit more rough-edged. The art is slightly less slick that you'll see in the mainstream commercial galleries. The building itself is kind of a bit funky. It was an old sheet metal shop. Just tell us a little bit about Blackfish. You know, what is the essence of the cooperative? What kind of artists do you look for?
I think I think of the gallery, one of the things that comes first to me is that it's a family. It's a family of artists, and so we don't have any particular one point of view. There's many points of view, and it's one of the things we celebrate is that there's such a variety of artists and artworks and input. So I think that's one of the things that I'm most pleased. I think pleases all of us is that the way of combining all things so it enriches all of our experiences.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to be a co-op member of Blackfish, let me. You've had like 160 people over the years, members. They come and go, mostly go.
There's a few of us stick around for a long time.
You are long-term members, you three. But how do you get into it? You know, and you also have certain tasks and duties, correct?
There is a process that we have that when people want to join, we give them a flyer, an information sheet that tells them the requirements. So there's a kind of a rigor to it. We look at their work, and that's a two-step process. They first submit work digitally or to a committee, and then they select from there and bring it to the membership at whole, and the membership then votes whether they want to admit this person, embrace this person into the collective or not, you know. So it's a two-step process where everybody gets to know everybody. It's not just to, the rigor isn't just to grill that prospective member at all. It's for us to get to know one another. Is this someone we want that we want to embrace into this family? Will they fit? And then the other part of view too from that aspect is, they want to know us. They have questions that can't be answered with one interview. They really need to talk, show the work, answer questions.
So, Akana, you on a first Thursday, you like any other member, can be found sitting on a front desk with the clicker, you know, counting people in and out. So everyone has certain tasks. Can you just tell us what you're expected to do as a member?
I think all of us are supposed to be on to two committees. We have different committees, installation committee, exhibition committee, and financial committees, and so on. And all of us has to be a member of those committees.
Mm-hmm.
And for that first Thursday, we also have the gallery set once a month. And in some openings, we take turns watching over the opening nights.
Mm-hmm. Are there vacancies right now for artists?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think there's about a couple openings, maybe.
Mm-hmm. About three.
Yeah.
And if you're a member, do you commit to doing a show like every year or two? How does that work?
We're committed to have a show maybe once in 1.5 years or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It depends on the person.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of that also figures in with the numbers of members we have. You have 12 months to show.
Yeah.
And so you had to, just by process of dividing that up so that everybody gets a fair representation. Then we also have group shows and also in the backroom shows as well.
Yeah. It seems like the newer members like to have a show as soon as possible, so they mm-hmm. like to schedule about once in 1.5 years. And I think the older members, you know, they don't mind having it once 2 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I always have a show every 2 years.
Yeah. You do?
Not a year and a half. I don't think I ever had a show. I never had a show in a year and a half. It's always been 2 years.
Okay. Yeah. So Robert, what is your role? You're the director. So you have you're not the director.
No, we do have. We hire a director who are a paid a person at the gallery, and the director actually helps to watch over the gallery in terms of sales and. What else does she do?
It provides a continuity, too, because they pass. She also was, in this case, Stephanie Schlichting is taking over for Damara Bartlett, who's on leave right now, maternity leave. But they provide a kind of a binding. They're a contact person for all of us. They're there more often. And they do work with sales as well as finding other areas, venues for us to show.
Yeah. They also design pop-up pages mm-hmm. nowadays. Yeah.
So the gallery wasn't always where it is now on 9th Avenue. We had a couple of other places, right? In Old Town.
Yes. The original one was in Old Town. It was on the 6th Avenue between Flanders and Everett Street. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you share it with somebody?
I think the upstairs was the old low-income hotel, and I think
small grocery store alongside.
Yeah, I think there was a little Greek. Was it a restaurant or something?
Yeah. I don't remember. There was a little store alongside that was a convenience place for the residents,
right?
In the community.
So you had a few years there, and then you moved to 9th Avenue, and you shared with a piece. Oh, sorry. No, sorry.
Yeah.
So you were there for a few years, then you moved to 5th and Davis, which is Old Town, and you shared with PCVA, the Portland Center for the Visual Arts.
And Blue Sky.
Gallery. And Blue Sky, the photo gallery. Mm-hmm. So PCVA was a kind of precursor to PICA. Christy Edmonds was there. She was one of those directors. So you moved around a bit, but you've been where you are now for...
32 years and 3 months.
Okay. And how is the neighborhood changing?
It's a pretty significant change. I think when we came there, the space that we currently have used to be a metal shop, and it So that was part of the joy, was renovating that place in this neighborhood. Our landlords also had a bean sprout business that they operated right next door. So there was the scenes of being there working in the place, then later showing in the place, and bean sprouts going out of the one door, being shuttled into a van, and more bean sprouts. I mean, big bags. This is a major business. And it was fun. It was wonderful that this is a business run by Jimmy Wong. But looking around, you know, often we would sit outside and just with Jimmy and just look at the neighborhood and sit there and just watch the sun at towards the end of the day. When you could see the sun at the end of mm-hmm. the day sitting there right now, those buildings that were sweatshops, some of them, one built garments that had immigrant employees and built sweaters, literally, and it was just a one-story operation factory. And then there were just one-story, two-story buildings, and that has, of course, really significantly changed in the last 5, 6, 10 years, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
There's a Canopy Hotel, a Hilton.
That's brand new that just opened up, and then the Hampton.
Hampton on next the next to us. Block. Yeah.
You know, wonderful spaces that are to-go places, as Portland is a to-go place.
Uh-huh.
And we're very happy to be located in that area. We sort of coined the name of the Pearl. With I think what was the other gallery that was there before Victoria's?
Victoria's Prize Cortisol Gallery.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So with the two of them, Cheryl Snow, our director then, they sort of coined that name, the Pearl, and that's what kind of stuck. And it literally was a place of ferment where things, energy started and kept growing, and it's still doing it. It's mm-hmm. doing it, you know. So we feel really privileged to be a part of that.
Is the so you get obviously get a deal on the rent from the Wongs. Is it has that kept you there over the years? I mean, it's not a big money making operation.
No, so Wongs have kept our rent low from the beginning since I was the treasurer for like 25 years. So I know the money situation, and so about maybe 10 years ago, so. They raised our rent, and then I said, well, if you keep raising our rent too high, we can't be here. So they hadn't raised the rent for all these years till this year. So, but because of it, we've been here, you know, 32 years and 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because of
the generosity.
Rent. Yeah, for the Wong family, you know. And we never had a lease or a contract. It was all by, like, old school handshake mm-hmm. and say, our words are good and your word is good too.
Mm-hmm.
We've been very grateful to them. They've been fabulous landlords. We've tried to be responsible tenants. We've kept up the building, watched their property for them. In that sense, we're caretakers for that space too, in a way. But we've been very grateful for their generosity over these years. They've been very good to us.
Mm-hmm. So there is an actual celebration of something being done for the family on the 13th and 14th of April, Saturday and Sunday, 7 p.m. and 3 p.m. is an oratorio. Mm-hmm. So it's in the gallery, and it's going to be a few musicians, a few singers, and they're going to sing this oratorio. And tell us about the text they're going to sing.
Well, it's this is one of our members, Christopher Shatola Hart, is a fabulous musician as well as a painter and an educator. He teaches at Wilsonville High School as an art teacher there, but he's also a very strong painter and member of the gallery and a musician. He has a group called Bug Toast, and they perform. The Bug Toast performs locally in Wilsonville area and perhaps other places. I don't know. But Christopher, one of his passions is creativity of music, and that as an art form. And he's decided to, as one of his art pieces, is with his group, do something that celebrates Blackfish, the 40 years of history. And so he, along with Mary Dawn Duckler, who's our poet and writer, she kind of holds that end of the. Of us together. She has worked with, I'd say they've gone through the sitter's log. This is the daily log that's kept by the individual artist who's sitting that day, and gone through the years of that and extracted text that they used as part of the oratorio, and Christopher has put together a music scenario, putting all of that together, so it's music, sound, fantasy, history, but it's going to be quite a performance when it happens on that Saturday and Sunday, the 13th, 14th.
Have you heard it yet?
Welcome back to KBOO Spring Membership Drive. Interesting interview Joseph Galavan is having with the owners of Blackfish Gallery. 40 years in town. That's something to celebrate. And 32 years in the same location. My name is Ray. I'm here with my friend Ani. And we're here to ask you to continue to support this kind of local programming to keep you involved in the cultural and artistic affairs of Portland. Call us now, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. But whichever way you choose to do it, take this opportunity to show your support for your community radio station and your community art scene. We're bringing it to you live right now. Call us, 877-500-5266, and make that pledge right now.
Absolutely, Ray. There is no time like the present to stand up and be counted as a KBOO member, knowing that you are doing your part to support the arts community in town, to support the theater community in town, visual and performing arts, local musicians. All of these people are supported here at your community radio station, as well as organizers and activists and authors and philosophers. And, you know, this is just the place where we mix culture, music, politics, poetry, the visual arts, and bring it all to you, our listeners, our community members. And this is the time that you can give back and say yes to your community radio station. Yes, you want to keep KBOO strong and independent. Yes, you want to keep amazing programs just like Art Focus coming to you every week. You can do it now by calling 877-500-5266. With your contribution of just, $5 a month, you can become a KBOO member. $5 a month, it's less than what you pay for most streaming services, right?
Right.
I got to say, this is one of those changing things, right, Ray? Where now we are used to having our entertainment dollars sort of in a subscription kind of way. And what I'm asking you to do this morning is think about KBOO as something you might subscribe to, like you would subscribe to any of those other services that bring you movies, documentaries, music, whatever. Think about KBOO bringing you community every day, all day long. You plug in when you want to and know that your $5 a month is keeping this community strong. Call us, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm.
And for that $5 a month or more, but for the minimum of $5 a month, you become a member, and we would be happy to thank you with the Music Makers, the Movement tote bag, which is artfully decorated with a logo, or the, let's see, what else we have? We have the beanie for $5 a month, or we have the two sets of tickets from the previous show, DMA Roberts Stage and Studio. This kind of programming of local arts and music is only really available through KBOO. We're here every week. Volunteers are bringing you this information. 877-500-5266 presents you with the opportunity to show your support for people like Joseph Galavan and DMA Roberts, who week after week spend their time to make sure that you're up to date on what's going on in the music and art scene in Portland. So, once again, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm, or as Ani mentioned earlier, you can use the very snazzy telephone app and just go to the donate button. But whichever way you choose to do it, take this opportunity and do it now. Become a member. Just $5 a month will get you one of these wonderful thank you gifts, and you can show your friends and neighbors that you are a member of the KBOO community. 877-500-5266.
Maybe you're new to town. Maybe you are one of the many people that have moved into the Portland metropolitan area more recently, and you're finding out that KBOO is a great way to learn about your new community, to know which galleries are really interesting and doing cutting-edge work, to know which theater companies are really worthwhile and having incredible performances. You can learn so much about the city you've moved to by listening to KBOO. And then you can actually take part and participate in your community by becoming a member of your community radio station. Please do it right now. Pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266 with your contribution. Again, $60. You can break that into a $5 a month sort of subscription-like way, or you can do it all at once. Please do that right now. Make that commitment to your community and call 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. And know that when you are doing that, you are doing your part to keep your community strong together. And we're going to go back to this interview in progress with Joseph Gallivan.
Heritage. What's the picture?
It's, again, a historic, like a lot of it has to do with the flood there in Portland.
The Vanport flood?
Yeah. And so there's elements of that, but it also he integrates history in his work all the time. Mm-hmm. There's always there'll be a snippet of something that's characteristic of the Black experience, and then of course historical things are very important to him in his work too, and critical sometimes, mm-hmm. often quite critical.
So Robert, you dealt with Avi a lot. Do people know that artists come with a range of work, and then you or somebody else gets to say what hangs in the show?
Well, we have an installation committee, and so I've been helping to hang the show at Blackfish for ever since I joined in 1986. So this show, I have a committee, and we've made some decisions. And Arby's painting is the brightest one, and it could hold the corner on the back. And so I hung that piece there. Mm-hmm. So,
The years, you've like told him, I like this, what you're doing. I don't like that. Well,
maybe I have said those things, but you know, sometimes people think I talk too much, so and offend people. So I don't know.
But you know, that's also it's part of what we are. It's a family of artists. We talk to each other. That's one of the great boons of being a member of Blackfish. Every month there's a new show. Every month there's a new opportunity to show not only show your work but talk about the new things up. And one of the reasons we do that at our gallery meeting is we have the artist give a presentation of the show that's up so that we can tell people and talk to them as they come into the gallery. So and a lot of times these get to be really fun exchanges, and where we really do express, well, I really like this, or what are you doing over here? I didn't know you were looking at that. Or where an artist can really bring forward the stuff they're working with, and we have an open dialogue about it. We really do. It's part of what we enjoy of the piece. Usually it's celebratory. Usually it's way up because we're always excited to see what each other are doing.
Mm-hmm. I think in a traditional commercial gallery, the artist is a bit more, has less control, right? You give them 60% if they sell something rather than the usual 50%. Yeah. You're a non-profit, so your take gets funneled back into
the business,
keeping the lights on.
We're actually not for profit, but not non-profit.
You know, I believe that Blackfish is a family, and it's an important family for me. And I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, hey, this is it, you know, and this is what it's about. And you know, even coming here, a group coming here, you know, I just feel this there's a characteristic of that gallery that's very much like a character. It's Portland.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you've been in and out of, you know, KBOO over the years. You're artists. Mm-hmm. You're very much part of the fabric of the city. And do you think, could there be another similar cooperative in Portland?
There are several cooperatives that have come up since Blackfish. And I think that's really been terrific. I mean, I think that they've seen that it's been successful for us, and a group has gotten together. We can't show all of the artists that are here in Portland, and they've formed their own union. There's about three of them. Yeah, I'm not sure. 114
and Waterstone.
Waterstone was another. One unfortunately closed recently, 16 in Southeast. Yeah, I believe they closed. Anyway, but I, I think that we've kind of shown a way that other artists can represent themselves. You know, we started, Blackfish started with as a group of students and graduating students from PNCA, Portland State. Jim Hibbard was our sort of founding father, and he's still around, comes to the gallery, lives both here in Portland and in Mexico somewhere, so again, that's part of the family thing. That's a connection. We met in his living room for I don't know how long, Bob, maybe a year. Well, Connie, that we met before we actually opened the doors of the gallery. Yeah, we met like nearly every Sunday and talked and had a little bite to eat and decided business policies, came up with a system of bylaws that have really held us together over the years, because we live and work and refer to those bylaws. We amend them. That's a growing document. And then I think other galleries have seen that. We've shared it and encouraged them to use it if they need it to help them form their galleries. So, and not just here, but in other areas, other parts of the state.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's been a very, one of the things we can do to give back besides exposure to our art and other artists, but it's also how we run it. How do you do something? How do you form a cooperative? And I think that's real important. And one of the things we found is that having a group of like-minded individuals who love art, who celebrate art, celebrate each other, is one thing. But then we get together and decide policy, form policy, live by the policy. And I mean, it's like I may not like what we're doing, but for example, some little thing somebody mentions, I go by the vote. When it's time to vote at the meeting, everybody raises their hands, and the majority wins all the time, and that shuts everything else up. We agree to that from the beginning. It's wonderful, you know.
Talking about Jim Hibbert's meeting at Jim Hibbert's place, we do have a retreat every year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where we go over some of the major issues that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this year we're meeting at Bob's place.
So is the kind of admin side of it, it's not too stultifying that it puts artists off from joining? Because, you know, you all really want to go home to your studios and make art more than sit in meetings. So how do you keep that balance?
The meetings are too long most of the time.
Bob is, at every meeting, Bob is listening, participating, then he's off still hanging some work. So well, the rest of us are sitting around arguing about something or reveling in something else. But, it's very organic.
Mm-hmm.
Very organic.
And it's not just, you know, a series of artists who have aged in place, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's like a log jam of old people, because you do student shows every year,
that.
Right? you invite all the art schools in the state.
Yeah, once
July.
A year. We're very proud of that. And I'm not sure how many years we've been doing it, 18 or 19. Yeah, that we've had this show that we host the recent graduates from the area's colleges that give degrees. And we ask each of those colleges to select two people that will represent them, and then they will submit the work. They do the curation, then we hang the show. So we think this is one of the things that we contribute to the community, is we give them their first show and that introduce them to the community. It's those recent grads, and we pull them together, actually form bonds within them, within that grouping. You know, they meet somebody from Oregon State, somebody meets from Oregon State, from Reed, connects with them, with Lewis and Clark, with PNCA. You know, it's a wonderful thing for the students, for those students that are represented, and it's a great show. It's always a lot of variety.
So there's a few, maybe three or four in the current show were in the original recent grad show. They were invited as a recent grad student, mm-hmm. and they're in the show right now.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Robert Dezzano, Paul Missel, and Carne Ikeda. They are painters and sculptors from the Blackfish Gallery, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year, and the show continues through April 27th. Thanks very much for coming into KBOO.
Real pleasure. Thanks for having us here.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you.
Andy Wawa looks a scream. Have him on my wall. Andy Wawa, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
KABU would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by The Waffle Window, with multiple locations in Portland and Bridgeport. With a specialty in savory and sweet waffles, The Waffle Window offers seasonal specialties with a twist, serving breakfast and lunch, open daily from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. or later. Lunch was provided by Godey's Texas Style Barbecue, located in Vancouver, Washington at 15640 Northeast 4th Plain Road. Open Tuesday through Sunday, Godey's serves Southern cuisine such as barbecue and sandwiches for lunch and dinner. Dinner was provided by Radio Room, located in Northeast Portland at 1101 Northeast Alberta Street. Open daily from 9 a.m. to 2 a.m., Radio Room is a lounge that serves new American cuisine and drinks. For more information on how you can support KABU, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KABU hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KABU at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film Le Gong on Thursday, April 11th at 7 p.m. Le Gong is a rarely screened 1935 silent movie shot entirely in Bali with a Balinese cast, mixed with a new score by Clubfoot Orchestra and Gamelan Sekarjaya. Again, that's Le Gong, showing April 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good afternoon. It's right after the noon hour, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Buscando America. KBOO programming is made possible by KABU member listeners and support from the Oregon Symphony's Concert for the Community, Saturday, April 13th, celebrating music of the Americas with music of North, Central, and South America.